Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Daryl, there's some, I guess, big news out of a court regarding a Texas sanctuary city law?
Yeah, so earlier in the year, the Texas legislature passed Senate Bill 4 that would wind up possibly putting police chiefs, sheriffs, and beat cops in jail if they did not cooperate with immigration officials in enforcing federal immigration policies.
Uh-oh.
So basically, the Texas legislature, that's majority Republican, surprise, surprise, wanted to basically prohibit what they deem to be sanctuary cities, which is basically a catch-all term for any jurisdiction that does not comply with every diktat of federal immigration policy.
Because there are kind of different levels of this.
Right.
So some so-called sanctuary cities may go through, like, they may actively try to protect the immigrants there.
Correct.
Others are kind of like our very own Keene, New Hampshire, and Cheshire County, where the Cheshire County Sheriff came out, I think it was several months ago now at this point, and Eli Rivera, he announced that his agents would not be going through the federal training, and they would not be assisting the federal government in any kind of roundups of people.
And they're also not going to actively be looking to see if someone is in the country illegally. U.S. District Judge Sam Sparks, appointed under Republican President George H.W. Bush, dismissed the case without prejudice late on Wednesday. The brief ruling did not give a reason for the dismissal. Senate Bill 4 calls for jailing police chiefs, sheriffs, and possibly frontline officers who failed to cooperate with U.S. immigration officials. The measure also allowed police to ask about immigration status during a quote-unquote lawful detention.
Allowed. Doesn't say mandated.
Right, but again, you know, there are parts in here to where it sort of implies that, you know, you're strongly encouraged to, because we how else are we going to know if everybody you interact with is here legally if you're not, you're allowed to do this. But, you know, we have to know the immigration status.
Well, I mean, if there wasn't any kind of punishment if they didn't do it, then I wouldn't call that a mandate or anything like that. But what were they, so they were obligated to assist the feds, but not, but allowed to do checks?
Right. Okay. And again, this allowed to is, if you have reasonable suspicion or probable cause to suspect that somebody might not be here. So basically, if they look like they might be Mexican, then run an immigration check. That's basically what this allows.
Which they can't say that.
They can't say it that way.
Right.
But that's basically what this does.
Got it.
I actually pulled up the text of the law, of what got passed, because, you know, some of the reporting makes it sound as though, you know, does it require the law enforcement officers to check the immigration status? Does it not require? What it actually says is that no local entity or campus police department may prohibit or materially limit a person who is a commissioned peace officer, booking officer, corrections officer, district attorney, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, from inquiring about the immigration status of a person under quote-unquote lawful detention or arrest.
So it doesn't create an obligation. It creates a cutout for an employee of a department who wants to enforce the federal law without the department's express permission to do so.
It says that none of these people can
be
prohibit or materially limit the whatnot. So
it says the department cannot prohibit those people. So if there's what it's saying is, if there's an individual agent who's like, well, my department says we're a sanctuary city and we're going to leave these immigrants alone, but I want to enforce the federal law, they're saying it would allow that person to do that against the policy of the department.
Kind of. And again, you know, like the wording of thing, it's really tricky of, you know, how are they going to interpret this? But,
well, apparently the judge interpreted it as unconstitutional and threw it out.
The federal case in San Antonio They say a small border town and some of the largest Texas cities told a judge in June that SB 4 could lead to an immigration police state and establish illegal racial profiling. They asked the court to halt the law, saying it's unconstitutional. And this is what I was alluding to, of when you have these sorts of policies of you're allowed, kind sir, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, to check on the immigration status of everybody that you have a lawful encounter with, it's going to result in everybody that looks a little darker than me winds up getting one of these checks.
Right, right.
Where are your papers? Where's your passport, sir?
Right, because there wouldn't be a requirement to enforce it across the board. It would just allow that individual to make individual decisions about that. And if that individual decided to stop everybody who is brown and ask them those, you know, those questions,
right,
then that would be allowed under that law. Whereas at least when they're doing, and I'm not defending these things, but at least when they're doing, you know, interdictions or checkpoints or whatever, they have to like have every so number of cars, right, every fourth or fifth or whatever that they have to stop. Again, I'm completely against checkpoints, but that's how they try to make it look like they're not doing racial profiling. And I think that, you know, if the feds want to withhold money, that's fine. The state should also withhold money from the federal government in the first place.
Meaning right, that- because, you know, in theory, because the federal government was created by the states, in theory, the federal government is subservient then to the states.
Right, but they don't act that
way. But that's not how it's playing out.
That's well, you know, I feel like, Daryl, the reason why it doesn't play out that way is because the politicians at the state level don't have any cojones. They don't have, I mean, politicians are notorious for not having a spine. And
right,
certainly they don't have a spine when it comes to going up against the federal government for the most part. So we very rarely see this. We did see it with the Real ID that happened back in, what, 2007, where a few states, including New Hampshire, you know, looked like they had a spine for a moment and stood up to the federal government and said, we're not going to do this unfunded mandate. But ultimately, that was only because the feds didn't fund that. If the feds had funded it, then they probably would have done it.
Right. But now almost every state has, you know, wound up complying, even though there are a couple of states that allow you to either opt in or opt out. I believe New Hampshire is an opt-in state
for the Real ID,
for the Real ID compliant driver's license.
Ooh, I feel like the
I believe it's opt in.
Are you sure about that? Because I feel like that law that recently came out was you could opt out of it.
I thought it was opt in.
I wonder about
but
that.
But in either case,
yeah, you might be right. I think I opted out.
But in either case, there is an option.
In New Hampshire.
Another misconception about flying, if you don't have a driver's license or any kind of ID,
you can still fly, supposedly.
You can still get through security. You have, you know, get-to-know-you meeting with a TSA agent.
Our former co-host, Sam Dodson, went through security multiple times just to prove that that was the
case. And the
case.
TSA even has it on their website.
Really?
If you don't have ID, here's what happens.
Okay, that's interesting because I had wondered if they'd changed the rules on that. Because back when Sam was on the show, it was, you know, what, 4 or 5 years ago now at this point. And so we'd wondered if the rules had tightened up or anything like that. And nobody really ever wants to take the time to do it because we're always in a rush at the airport. So it's like we haven't bothered to experiment with that.
I never go through the scanners and I always have to show up like 3 hours early in order to make sure I catch my plane.
Really?
Yeah. Because I actually need the 3 hours. Like most of the time you could really get away with 2 hours, but I actually make sure we show up 3 hours because if we don't and they have held us long enough where it could be a problem if we hadn't given us.
If you hadn't, yeah. Let's get into this story here about Kodi, which is spelled K-O-D-I. That's some kind of a TV app that allows you to have add-ons. I've never tried this. Chris, have you actually used the Kodi app?
Yes.
Okay.
So what Kodi is it's basically...
It's for a desktop computer, right? Or like a laptop?
Not necessarily. It's there's all sorts of devices that will run Kodi.
Okay.
And basically it's like viewing software. It'll watch streaming content online. Or even just content stored on your computer or on a NAS device.
A
NAS, network area storage device.
So I see it's downloadable at Kodi.tv for Windows, Linux, Mac OS, Android, Raspberry Pi, iOS, and other. So you're saying it's also – so in addition to the software that you can download, there are people who are making like hardware, Raspberry Pis or whatever out of this kind of thing?
Yeah. There's also – if you've ever heard of I think it's called the Fire Stick.
I've heard of that. Isn't that Amazon?
Yeah. It's Fire Stick. It's one of the very popular things that people run Kodi on. And it's basically just this cheap little computer that you plug into a computer and – or I'm sorry, a television. And yeah. It will allow you to stream content. Now, the default...
From Amazon Prime.
Presumably from Amazon and other Netflix, maybe, and some other legal sources.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
I didn't know that Amazon would allow you to have Netflix. I didn't know... I figured they were in competition.
I'm not entirely sure, actually.
I know Amazon does allow you to add on things.
To the Fire Stick?
Yeah. So, you know, like, you can add on apps.
I see.
There's this add-on repository or app store that's called TV Add-ons. And TV add-ons basically hosts all sorts of add-ons. And, you know, some of them may be, most of them are legal.
Okay.
99% of them are legal. But 1% of them are not. They're, and when
That's
I say
the fun part.
Illegal, basically what the this is.
So like sports.
Whether or not they're legal or not is actually up for debate, but. The 1% I'm talking about.
So what kind of stuff are you going to find in the 1%? Like sports channels? Are they going to have like major cable networks sort of illegally rebroadcast like TNT,
yes, absolutely.
AMC,
yes,
things
absolutely.
Like that?
Sky, mm-hmm. That's a UK channel, I guess, in the UK.
Okay.
But yeah, basically all of that. So there'll be some add-ons that might allow you to do that. Other add-ons will allow you to stream from like basically servers like they've got TV shows.
Now I've seen people trying to stream these things not over the Kodi app, but just generally these
over the internet,
these
the
illegally streamed IPTV channels, and they're mostly unreliable from what I've seen.
There
so
are
I don't know how good this
services that are superior to cable television offerings. Following the filing of the complaint on June 9th, the federal court handed down a time-limited interim injunction against Lachman, which restrained him from various activities in respect to TV add-ons. The process took place ex parte, meaning in secret, without Lachman being able to mount a defense. The court also authorized a bailiff and computer forensics expert to take control of internet domains, including tvaddons.ag and offshore.com, plus social media and hosting provider accounts for a period of 14 days. These were transferred, so they basically shut his business down. These were transferred to Daniel, somebody at somebody.
Was this a business?
It's an independent court-appointed supervising counsel.
Was he charging for these downloads?
I'm not sure. Certainly, the programs like Exodus were not, which is one of the apps that were certainly allowed you to stream illegal content or mm-hmm. infringing content or whatnot.
Okay.
Certainly, that app was not being charged for. I don't know if there were commercial apps also available through,
gotcha.
Through this app store. There may or may not have been. Certainly like a distribution or a Linux operating system has like Debian does not offer any kind of commercial apps in their app store. But you know, so it could have been like that, or it might be more like Amazon's app store that you might add to like Android.
It looks like it's I presume you're talking about tvaddons.co, which is the first result
probably.
That comes up here. It appears that they're just giving stuff away and then asking for donations.
The court ordered the telecoms companies to inform Lachman that the case against him is a civil proceeding and that he could deny entry to his property if he wished. Oh, this is really interesting.
What?
This is what's going to blow your mind. However, that option would put him in breach of the order and would place him at risk of being fined or even imprisoned. Catch 22 springs to mind.
So let me see if I got this clear. This order, this special, what was it, Alfred order? What was it?
It's something pillar.
Okay, well, whatever it was.
Yeah.
This special
Anton
order.
Pillar.
Anton Pillar.
Yep, that's what they call it.
This order allows the plaintiff to come to your place, whatever the location is.
Yep, the guy,
go
the
through
people
your
suing
stuff,
you.
Take whatever it is that they think is relevant to their case.
Yep.
But if he has the right to say, no, you can't come in. But if he does that, then there may be consequences.
Yeah, the consequences are fine or jail time. Lachman was told that he had an hour to find a lawyer, but couldn't use any electronic device to get one. Can't use the phone.
Good luck.
Throughout the entire day, Lackman says he was reminded by the plaintiff's lawyer that he could be held in contempt of court and jailed, even though he was always cooperating. I just sit there and not leave their sight. I was denied access to medication.
You can go find a lawyer as long as you don't use any internet or electronic device and don't leave our site.
Yeah, they denied him access to a lawyer.
Telepathy.
I guess, you know, he was probably inside, so no smoke signals.
Right.
Can't go get a homing pigeon. You can't send a raven. Yeah. So you can find a lawyer as long as one is inside this room.
Right. This is very fair. Very fair process here to this man.
TV add-ons had never been served with so much as a copyright takedown notice in advance of this action. That's just disturbing. It's like they didn't even...
Surprise.
He was operating a completely legal site, and they didn't even use the tools at their disposal to alert him to the fact that there was something that may be infringing infringing their rights.
Huh.
And I'll put rights in quotes because I don't believe in them.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the Message of Liberty. Yet you may not always have the time to listen to an episode of Free Talk Live. So, you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month to patreon.com/crblake86. That's patreon.com/crblake86. You can also donate with Bitcoin or Ether. See the show notes for further details.
Shockingly, interrogation of Lackman went much farther. Torrent Freak understands that TV Add-ons operator was given at least 30 names of people that might be operating sites or services similar to TV Add-ons. He was then ordered to provide all the information he had on those individuals. Of course, people tend to guard their online identities, so it's possible that information provided by Lackman will be of limited use. But Judge Bell was not happy that the Anton Pillar order was abused by the plaintiffs in this way. I conclude that those questions posed by the plaintiffs' counsel were solely made in furtherance of their investigation and constituted a hunt for further evidence as opposed to the preservation
of existing
evidence.
So they were outside the scope.
Yeah, exactly. So the whole idea is to preserve evidence, so this is far outside the scope.
Right.
But he was only just getting started.
The judge, that is.
Yep.
Okay.
Plaintiffs unlawfully tried to destroy TV Add-ons before trial. The judge went on to note that from their own mouths, the Anton Pillar order was purposely designed by the plaintiffs to completely shut down TV Add-ons, despite the fact that only a tiny proportion of the add-ons available to the site were allegedly used to infringe copyright. I'm of the view that the order's true purpose was to destroy the livelihood of the defendant, deny him the financial resources to finance the defense.
Now, was this, I'm sorry, I might have missed this minor.
This the judge.
This minor detail. Is this judge the same judge who ordered the order in the first place?
Yes, it is. So why the big turnaround? The judge said that while the prima facie case may have appeared strong before, the judge who heard the matter ex parte without Lackman being present to defend himself, a subsequent adversarial hearing undermined it to the point that it no longer met the threshold. As a result of these failings, Judge Bell...
So, translation. And it sounded like it may have been a different judge who approved the order.
Yeah, I think it was a different judge.
Was it? Based on what you just said there.
Maybe I'm mistaken.
It sounds like the judge...
I thought it was the same judge.
It sounds like the initial judge who ordered this special order... That he was the one who did the, outside of this, or he was
the Anton Pillar, which is allowed in Canadian.
So, at a minimum, this judge did think that it was a legally issued order originally. So at a minimum,
it was legally issued originally,
right, by the original judge. That's what this judge is.
But because it was ex parte, the other party had no say, and this judge is saying, "Well, now that I've actually heard from both sides, this is
Seeing how it was executed." Yeah. And I think the execution had a lot to do with this higher judge saying, yeah, you shouldn't have been able to do that.
There's also another judge, because this is being appealed. This judge's ruling is being appealed. There are two judges, but maybe there's even a third judge.
There will be soon enough.
As a result of these failings, Judge Bell declared the Anton Pillar order unlawful.
Sometimes libertarians will be like, sort of against intellectual property, but in their area, they want to have the intellectual property to protect themselves.
Well, so
you're not one of those guys.
Well, you've obviously never seen the title page, if you will, where I don't have a copyright notice.
Don't you do copy heart?
Copy heart and Creative Commons.
And what is copy heart for listeners that don't know?
Copy heart is basically a statement of we want you to share this. We don't believe in, you know, the concept that you can own an idea. Like, certainly, you know, you can come up with a thought, but once you share that thought, then other people are then exposed to that thought, and mm-hmm. you can't claim ownership over, you know, the neurons right. in other people's brains.
You let it out
when
there.
They think of what you just said.
Right.
Yeah, I've certainly in a similar kind of position. Like I've both given and raised a combination of at least $400,000 over the past couple of years alone, going towards projects that produce content designs that are then freely made available, and somebody's got to fund those. So certainly, I have an interest in to a degree in making money off of some of this stuff too. But mm-hmm. you don't necessarily have to have a copyright in order to do that.
Story from TechCrunch from March 2015: App submission on Google Play now reviewed by staff. Will include age-based ratings.
Amazon also has something similar in their app store. And
so even, new as of March is what you're saying.
Of 2015.
Even, like repositories like or app stores like for Debian or like Linux distributions and things like that, even they have some sort of filter mechanism. Huh. Even if it's not, you know, the kind of filter that, you know, is like Apple, right?
Because I know that like with Jax, which was the, you know, the official wallet of Free Talk Live, they were held back by like 17 releases on the Apple side, and yeah. of course, every release they put through on Android came out as they
right.
were
expecting. Because it's a very weak filter, right?
Okay. Right. The article here says the reason Google Apps review team is able to process submissions so quickly is because the system includes an automated element. So there is a little bit of a waiting period and, you know, some kind of review. It might not be the best review.
Apparently not.
But there is some kind of review process.
There's still a huge difference, too, between an Android device and an Apple device. An Android device, you can disable it so you can install other app stores, right? You
like
can't do that.
F-Droid.
Right, or just install packages individually or mm-hmm. software individually outside right. of the app store.
We used to have a guy call in with a super thick Scottish accent. He was a cabbie from Scotland, and he would call in, and it was so hard to understand him on the phone. And I finally got him to call in on Skype, and it was like night and day. The difference was so much easier.
Was that a result of the call quality being?
Yes, the resolution of the voice. You can hear a larger
Ralph's voice is not terrible. The call quality of that wasn't terrible.
Yes, it is. It's a phone. If you compare a
phone, you thought that was terrible.
Phones sound
terrible. I didn't
think
it was that terrible at all.
For a phone, it's fine. Phones have a restricted range of audio that they can transmit.
I agree with you. I just
you can't ever hear any
bass. I just
bass.
Don't think it was hard to understand him because of the phone. It was.
Yeah. I'm telling you, if he got on Telegram or Skype or anything else where it upgrades the audio quality, the quality of the actual audio being transmitted. They have a new thing that they're, as I understand it, behind the scenes, the telecommunications providers are supposedly working with something called HD voice as phone systems switch over from the legacy old twisted pair copper wires, plain old telephone system into a newer voiceover IP. Mm-hmm. We're hopefully going to see more upgraded call quality start to happen. As people increasingly abandon voice calling for texting and emailing, audio quality has been a bit neglected. But Sprint's debut, and this is from 2012, so this is not brand new technology here. Sprint's debut of the HD voice compatible Evo 4G LTE signals that carriers are starting to kick the quality up a notch. The jump from your current phone to HD voice is like switching from dial-up to DSL. But what is it exactly? Well, HD voice is a wideband audio technology. Normally, calls on phones are transmitted on a limited frequency of about 300 Hz to 3.4 kHz. But HD voice is a wideband audio technology, expanding that range down to 50 Hz and all the way up to 7 kHz. Now, as I mentioned before, the human voice tends to go no higher in frequency range than around 7 kHz. So this new HD voice spec will allow basically the full range of the human voice to be heard over phone calls that support the HD voice, whereas with the old phone systems that we grew up with, plain old telephone systems, which are still the majority of what you're going to hear on a phone call today, it basically cut the human voice range in half.
My local county coordinator for the Libertarian Party is a vegan, and his argument is that he thinks the non-aggression principle should apply to animals as well. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that, you know, he can believe what he wants to believe. I don't necessarily agree.
Why? Animals are cute. You don't want to hurt an animal, do you, Daryl?
I don't want to hurt an animal. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, like, I'm not just going to, like, run around kicking bunny rabbits and birds.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
But if you want a delicious hamburger, there's only one way to get it.
Right. And you don't, you know, go out and flog the cow every day.
Right.
So, you know, like, you can kill an animal without hurting the animal constantly.
But
if that makes any sense.
And you can't do that with humans?
But your friend Stefan is saying that's something he would oppose. He doesn't want animals to be killed either, presumably, because that would be aggression.
I'm simply repeating what my local LP official said. That's just what I heard. Now, my opinion is, I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence, you know.
Is it an electric fence?
No, it's just that, like, a part of me feels like it's wrong that we, you know, herd these animals up and then kill them and then eat them. Because that is, you know, that's a very brazen thing to do, in my opinion. But at the same time, I really, really, really like bacon. Daryl, you said that it wouldn't be right to go around kicking bunny rabbits. But how is kicking a bunny rabbit going to be different than shooting the bunny rabbit? The difference is that the bunny rabbit is now going to be dead instead of just being kicked. You don't think that's violent?
What? Of course it's violent.
It is violent, and I think that if you kill an animal, you should eat the animal. If you just go around randomly killing animals, then you're an absolutely horrible, despicable human being.
Right.
So you don't agree with, like, trophy hunting or anything like that?
That's correct. I do not agree with trophy hunting unless the animal is eaten.
But this has nothing to do with the principle.
I had just brought up what my local coordinator had said. It seems we did diverge a little bit.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.